Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/twit.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 207 for July 29th, 2015. We meet Fred Lloyd from QRZ.com. Hello, everybody. Remember me? This is K9EID, and I'm talking to you from the studio in Pleasant Hope tonight. Been gone, it seemed like forever, and I missed everybody. We have a really neat show tonight. There's a lot of stuff. Fred Lloyd's going to be on later, the fellow that owns and sets up and runs QRZ, and every one of you. I know every one of us at least go there, 10 times a day? He's going to talk to us. And we got Abby and Kendra here, really great gals that Don's going to talk to. But first, let's say hello to Gordo. Gordo, hello to you down in Costa Mesa. And there's Don down in good old Mississippi. And we're going to come back to you real soon. I like your flag, Don. Can come back. But before we get started, Valerie is here, and she has a little bit of news. So we're going to do it right at the top. Hi, Valerie. How are you? I missed
it's so nice to see you, Bob. I missed you, too. And thanks for letting me crash the Ham Nation party tonight. I know I'm not supposed to be on tonight. But I did want to draw a winner. Jerry and I, for those of you who missed last week's episode, are offering up our home and our shack to a person who wants to operate from a big station in a contest. And that's for the NAQP phone contest coming up August 15th and 16th. And I actually had a really good response. And I was amazed how many responded from 400 or more miles away, which is I thought was pretty cool. So I decided to give us a different backdrop. I am on the contesting couch here tonight. I'm about 5 feet away from where I normally sit, one of the operating chairs here at the shack. So this is actually a good place to sit and listen to Jerry run a pileup, and you can learn a lot. So whoever wins, we're all going to take turns in that operating chair for NAQP. So I'm going to draw a winner right now. I have all the names in here. And good luck to everybody. And I think we may do this in the future because everybody wrote such great emails on how excited they would be to come operate from here. So we'll see how this goes, and good luck. So let me pick a winner.
Drum roll.
Let's see. The winner is Matt Walsh, Alpha Charlie 9, Italy Golf from Schaumburg, Illinois. So Matt, get ready. You're coming to Crescent City, Illinois, and you get to contest with us. I will be filming and photographing this and putting it on a future episode of Ham Nation. And that's all I got for this week. I will see you next week. I'm going to have an interview with one of the team leaders from a major, major de-expedition coming up this winter. And the 2 weeks after that, I was going to do a thing on how to make your QRZ page shine. So I'm not sure if your guest tonight is going to be covering that already. But that's all I've got. I'll see you guys next week, and I'll pass it over to you, Bob.
Well, thanks a lot. I wanted to get that in. That's really cool of you and Jerry to do that. And I appreciate very much you being, and you can be here anytime. Just let us know, and we'll make it happen. But I have been getting so many emails, and before we get on with Gordo, he's got a whole bunch of interesting news, and Don always has good stuff. Before we get down there, I thought I'd show you a couple of things of where I've been, what I've been doing, and it'll answer a lot of questions for you because we've been kind of busy. And let's run a couple of these really quick, Brian. We We've been doing lots of different things. I did an organ concert that took a little bit of time one night, but it takes time to get it all set up and so on here. But got that going. But we were with the Beach Boys. There's Mike Love and his Heil PR35. They use our microphones on the Beach Boys. Used to do them years ago, and they were just great. If you get a chance to see the Beach Boys, please go. It's amazing. They have not lost it, and I'm really proud of what they're doing. I also went back to the plant. There's Sarah, the president and owner of Heil Sound, and went back to visit them. I got to make sure my nail's still in the wall, if you know what I mean. No, we're working on a bunch of new projects. There is Sarah with a very cool thing. That's the song list of what the Beach Boys did, all the songs. And Sarah can sing every one of those, and she did, actually. It was cool. We were out at the mixer. You probably can do that too, Gordo, but there's all of the songs, and they did them right in a row. That was a 2.5 hour, maybe more, concert. It was so much fun, and good to see a lot of things going on out there of how they use our products, but of course, been Beach Boy fans forever, but that's what we've been doing. I miss Billy Sims. Billy Sims is a great barbecue place here, and I miss Billy Sims. And 40 meters, I've been on 40 a lot, talking to Liz, K4GHT, and KNW0HRO, the ultimate restorer, and KC9QJE, getting ready for his big homebrew transmitter. 7290, 7295, it's just been great. And so I missed all that, but I'm back here for a while. But I appreciate all the emails everybody sent, and we'll catch up with you on the air after this. Some of the nets I'll try to get on. And Gordo, how are you doing? It's really good to be back, and let's hear what's going on in news from you. And I think you got some short shots.
We do. And emails, Mike, KD0NJV says, because of Ham Nation, I'm now back on the air. Good for you, Michael. Clint, K6LCS, our local satellite guy, says, hang on to those dual band handhelds. FM EO80 is going up soon. In orbit now, going from commercial over to ham, and AMSAT soon this fall will launch Fox, that will be Fox 1A out of Vandenberg. To learn more about satellites that you can work with a handy talkie, go to work-sat.com. Now, speaking of the wow factor, W0W, Special Event Station of the Wichita Amateur Radio Club, on the air this Saturday for baseball around the clock at Dumont Stadium. And then this Sunday, Dale and I put on our Coast Guard hats and we play K1CG. I'll be on 2200 Zulu for a couple of hours, and that's a special event honoring the Coast Guard's 225th birthday. Got a special rig coming in from Bridgecom Systems. They're going big on 222 megahertz. They say we need to populate that band. As Wayne Green would say, use it or lose it. And we'll see all of you ones and twos in Boxborough in about 3 weeks. So Boxborough, here I come, ones and twos, and maybe some threes. We'll see you there. All right, Brian, let's roll the Special Olympics. Real event drill, red, code red. Real event drill means take any big event that maybe doesn't have ham radio on the schedule and build ham radio into it. And then, or any small event that's taking place that you're doing for ham radio, turn that event into a good drill. And that's what we did up in the mountains last week when I was gone. So let's take a look and see what happens in a real event drill. The Special Olympic World Games came to Los Angeles. They've not been here for about 45 years. We had 6,500 athletes from 165 countries, 25 events over 9 days taking place right now, 30,000 volunteers, 2,000 coaches, and hundreds had to stay overnight on a hardwood floor before the big games started with warm-ups at individual venues around Southern California. Well, we made their hard floor sleep much better the next day when they came to one of the 70 venues. This is Lake Arrowhead. And I was delighted to be working and invited with the San Bernardino Operational Area Lake Arrowhead Division Chief Tracy Lineker of the Mountain Division said, come on up and lend a hand. Boy, I'd love to go swimming, although the water looks a little bit cold. So all the Special Olympics from Switzerland came to Lake Arrowhead. They arrived just about on time, but we were ready for them. As the mountain communities of Lake Arrowhead gave these 100-plus athletes a very warm welcome with some nice trees and so on. This was just a fraction of our San Bernardino County Operational Area ECS team, but it was just enough of us to show that we were there to give them that warm welcome. And we had a whole bunch more, probably 50 or 60 of the San Bernardino ECS welcoming our Special Olympics. Well, that first venue, they had us set up on the perimeter. Our mission for the communications was safe conditions for everyone, including our participants, security comms to make sure we didn't lose anybody in the forest, and medical support comms. And we had some minor things. It was no big deal because we were prepared. We used this as a real event drill. Search and rescue, you bet. And they were tuned in, turned on, and in communications with our incident command post. And they were dressed in orange. Community emergency response team plays a very important part up at Lake Arrowhead. So if you've got CERT in your part of town, know that they were a big part at the Lake Arrowhead event, as well as citizens on patrol. So CERT plays an important part at Lake Arrowhead. They had them on multi-use radio service, MERS channels. And these CERT members up at Lake Arrowhead did such a great job, you couldn't tell the difference between a CERT comm and a ham comm. And this is great when we see both groups working so close together. Everybody had bright vests on that were in key positions to prevent accidents and to promote safety. And, you know, you see these vests and, you know, they're quite distinctive. I didn't realize how important they were until I started to get my own uniform on. And, you know, a real event drill allows you to check your own self out. I found out that, number one, my zipper broke, and that didn't help my boots. And number two, these relatively new boots began to disintegrate. So using a drill as a real event practice really helps you check things out, from radio equipment to your own uniform. Well, this was our first command post, and we had six of them throughout the 2 and 3 days we were there. Notice we got the Heil headset on that allowed us to be able to hear clearly the comms and not be overridden by some of the other noise in the background. Wow, ICOM America, do you make a loud radio? We tried out a whole bunch of different brand radios, and the ICOM T70 single bander, actually, it's a dual band, but with one band playing at a time, did a great job. Everything plugs right into the top when it comes to the great Heil headsets or the ICOM speaker mics. Remember, a dual band transceiver doesn't necessarily mean you're getting both bands at the same time. On this Elenco, yes, it is full duplex dual band. You need to know that ahead of time so you know what you're working with. And a lot of the ECS volunteers were using the Kenwood radio with true dual band capabilities for those team leaders that needed to monitor two frequencies at once, sometimes two on VHF or two on UHF. These full duplex dual band units will do well. Important point. If you're in nice and close, sure, wear that radio on your belt. But if you're more than maybe a quarter mile away, it's best to have the radios out in your hand. And that's the way the San Bernardino ECS team members operated. Not on their belt, but holding the radio in the hand to get that antenna up high. Whoa, here's something we discovered. We found that on the very popular FT60, that's one of my favorite radios. Yeah, you plug in the speaker mic, or you plug in the Heil headset, goes in there nice and neat. And if you're not careful and lash down the connection on the Yaesu radio, you'll find that if it backs out a micro, it will cause the radio to go on transmit. And of course, you've got the Heil headset or the speaker mic or an earphone in your ear. You don't realize it until the radio times out. So something important for this particular radio that we learned during the real event drill, and that is make sure you've got a way of jamming that four-pin mic single plug all the way into the receiver. And that's the way we held it on ours, although they do have a little antenna clip that will make that happen. So very important. Make sure you check out your radio gear before we go on to the scene as a real event drill. AA batteries and a battery holder. What a great way to know you've always got fresh batteries. Oh, yeah, you can go in there with a rechargeable battery pack. But, you know, the batteries you put in yourself, you know, are fresh. That way you don't have to worry about battery charging in the field. Hey, not all antenna receptacles are the same. Here's one where it's a male on the radio, and it is a female gender on the antenna on some of the Chinese radios. Yet on the more common radios, it's the male end on the antenna and the female end on the radio. And it's important to know the difference because if you try and screw on the wrong antenna, it just won't work. And as we found out, we always encourage to have the longer of the antennas, maybe not the one that came with the unit, but get a nice long whip for improved coverage, especially up in the mountains where we were. And always mark your antenna with a little red tip there so you know that it's yours for red and Tracy's is blue and Marilyn's is green. And you get the idea. That way you won't grab the wrong radio. Now, when we are checking things out, I use that inexpensive frequency counter that we're now seeing at a lot of the different ham conventions. It's about $40, but not only does it read out the frequency, but it also reads out CTCSS or digital tone squelch. Nice little thing to have if you have somebody that has a name on their radio and they don't know where they're actually transmitting. And of course, when you set up your setup, make sure you're well-dressed. Make sure it's safe. And if you're putting up a big, tall antenna down here on the city, make sure you're clear of overhead power lines. Well, where we were up at Lake Arrowhead, there were no overhead power lines, just overhead towering, wonderful pine trees. And again, our mission was provide safety communications, provide security communications on what we see, and medical support communications in case something should happen that we observe back to the incident command post. So at a distance, we kept track of our new guests, and we kept track of all the forest around us, and I'm not a forest guy. And I was a little worried when I saw some of their alerts, be alert for bears, watch out for snakes. Oh, God, I hate snakes. So I was always looking over my shoulder, and is there a bear in there? And, well, no, maybe. Oh, my gosh, what's that? Well, luckily it was just some of our participants dressed in red admiring some of the vehicles that the Special Olympic volunteers brought in to show off. They were fascinated with the USA cars. At least that was the folks from Switzerland. Well, that night, you never know what's going to happen, and the good ham is well prepared. Tracy, our mountain chief, had us all in the protective vest colors, and notice those vests are quite reflective when the fog comes in. There are our delegates, and we were just monitoring to see what we could do to help out, and we had plenty of comms. But boy, I tell you, when the buses came, we had to make darn sure that everything was well coordinated, and it was ham radio that allowed us this coordination. The fog got thicker and thicker, and those of us with the bright yellow vests during the day going, how come we're wearing these yellow vests? Holy smoly, at night you can see they really reflected the light. There's Tracy. We can't see him, but by golly, we can sure make out his yellow vest in the thick fog that came into Lake Arrowhead. And the Special Olympics World Games at night. There's one of our command posts, and you can see everybody's got those reflections on that are doing outside duty. Great operators there on the command post. And, you know, the bright colors allow us in an emergency or during a real event drill to see who's out there and who's who. We could always tell the mountain search and rescue because they had the appropriate colored uniforms on. Telephoto lens at quite a distance to check them out. Even down here on the flatlands, Coast Guard Auxiliary, that's Pastor Jason Gant. We're decked out in our Coast Guard Auxiliary unit, and it's got reflective strips on it. So even though you're doing a small event, you go, how come I'm wearing one of these shirts? Well, there's Michael, one of our net controllers. Michael, good job. I don't know if that's reflective or ANSI approved, but by God, it's good enough for me. And by the way, the Coast Guard Auxiliary unit, Jason's got his hand held up nice and high where he can adjust the volume. And he's got a external antenna that clips on the shoulder so he can wear that radio there and get the RF away. So whatever event you have coming up, maybe this coming Tuesday, your particular city is offering a national night out, which is a national safety night to show off. Great opportunity for ham radio. Don't just go there going, yeah, I'll sit around. Make it a drill and get involved with others around you, because when the big one hits, they very well may be looking for you to come in and save the day. Exercise your solar panels that we did up in the mountains. Have an ammeter to double check what's going on with the battery. And of course, know that your mobile radios all have a reverse protection diode in it. Because occasionally on some of these new lithium iron phosphate batteries, it's tough to see what's hot and what's cold, what's positive, what's negative. This might give you a second chance if you should get the polarity reversed. The elk antenna, log periodic, quite a nice antenna because it comes apart in seconds, held up with PVC. That allowed us to get the signal throughout our operational area during the 4 days of the Special Olympics up at Lake Arrowhead. Now, when we're at a real tiny venue, we don't necessarily need to have an easy up and a big setup, but take a look there, a little pie pan, or make that an oven fan with an antenna, magnetic antenna. She's wearing one of the lightweight one-ear Heil headsets, can't even see it, and it did a great job, both transmit audio as well as being able to hear audio. Tracy, you are so organized. Got it. 12-volt cables with Anderson connectors on it. It's got the battery that will make sure and mark as to what's hot and what's cold in big, huge colored letters. And even though you go, gosh, do I really need to put up this canopy for this event that's going to last 2.5 hours? Go through the process because it gets you used to getting ready for the real event. As this is a real event drill, to get it up, take it down, put it up, take it down 6 times up here at Lake Arrowhead. So we were used to getting it done in a hurry, but carefully. All sorts of radio enclosures. That's a nice one for the dual band radio. And other enclosures came from the iPortable box. And here's another one. Look at that. Is that a great way to protect the radio when they put the front cover on? There's another of the portable boxes that this one has a power supply built in. Oh, I would rather have the lithium iron phosphate battery at 24 amp hours built in than any stinking thing I got to plug into 110. Always double check your voltage. Do it on transmit. And as long as you're staying at 12, 8 to 13 on transmit, means your battery's good. Oh, look at my voltage after 2.5 days. Running on the lithium iron phosphate. We didn't use this one up at Lake Arrowhead, but we used it the other day. Ooh, getting a little low. But without that voltmeter, you never would have known. So the iPortable box is great, but doesn't have a voltmeter, so add one. You can get the little tiny meters quite inexpensively. Again, our team was well welcomed, and the incident command post was far enough away that the fife and drums didn't overwhelm the comms, and the big Heil headsets for those needing to be absolutely quiet and hear only the radio really came in handy. Tina, one of the latest members of the San Bernardino County Emergency Communication Service, seen operating from one of those radio boxes. And if you don't have a lot of noise, no headphones necessary. But if you have a lot of noise, headphones really required. So using these real event drills allows you to go out there and set up. It's a pain in the rear to take it down and set it up and take it down and set it up. You may go, why do we go through all this effort for show and tell? I'll tell you why, because every time you do, as I do, I find stuff that I could have done better. Because sooner, the big one's going to happen. And if all of you out there take part in a real event drill, you're going to be ready for the big one. So finally, we'd like to thank everyone for letting me come on aboard. And you can come on back to this shot, Brian. And we want to thank all of you that took part with the Special Olympics here in Southern California. A lot of hams got involved in 70 different venues. We were making things happen. Just a drill, but it's a real event drill that we can better prepare for something really big that's going to probably happen soon. Back to you, Bob, and I'll see you next week.
Okay, great. Super duper, Mr. Gordo. Always enjoy all of your travels and the neat things you do. That's great. It takes a lot of work. Everybody should pay attention to some of the things that happen out there, because Gordo is the ultimate teacher, and that's why, because he goes out and does it, and that really, really works. We got to go down to Mississippi now and see what's going on. I saw some smoke down there a little bit ago, and I think it might have something to do with this guy. George Bandit, I miss you, and I don't get on 75 much because it's been a little noisy. Been on 40, so how you doing, man? Everything okay?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, doing pretty good. You know, I wasn't here last week either. I was supposed to be, but when it came time, my picture was just horrible. And we found out what it was. I wish I'd sent Brian a picture before the show. Squirrels chewed the coax that brings the cable internet into the house here. So that's what happened with me last week. But I'm back now.
About the little thing with the big rat with the big tail, a squirrel, right? Not some weird person like me, a little squirrel guy, but a real animal, right?
Right, a tree rat.
Hey, do you have need to call me names now, for crying out loud. No need for name calling. I've been called worse. Why better?
Ew, tree rat.
Yep. That's pretty much what they are. I haven't had a lot of trouble with them here. I have about 10 pecan trees in the backyard. The pecans never make it to the ground anymore. All you see is the gnawed up shells down there. They get them before they even get to the ground. But at least they're not chewing my antenna ropes like they do over at Tommy's house.
Well, but you're really serious. The squirrels got in and chewed your feed line. That's something that we all need to pay attention to, right?
Well, it was my internet feed line. It wasn't my ham station, thank goodness. But there it is, right there. You can see they chewed down as far as the aluminum shell there, and they gave up, which proves even squirrels prefer copper. There it is. And it had been that way for I don't know how long, but for some reason last week it decided that the signal was going to drop. We had like 15 dB of loss between the pole out at the street and the box on the side of my house. We replaced
George, I have one question, and then we'll let you have it. Are you sure that your buddy Tommy wasn't playing like an April Fool's joke on you? You sure about that?
I think he was partly responsible. I believe he brought a truckload of squirrels over here to my house. And so I'm blaming it on him.
Okay.
Anyway, we survived that. We're back.
Let's see what's going on, man. It's sure good to be back. There he is.
There's a little coax gnawing varmint right there. Okay. Well, this week I had got a video together for us, but something came in that's kind of timely. We want to go ahead and play because we had two of our friends get together up in Wisconsin at the air show. It was our buddy Dan in 9LVS, who does the Ham Nation Wiki and occasionally brings us videos, and this other guy that you may recognize.
Welcome to AirVenture 2015, which was held July 20th to the 26th. AirVenture is getting so large, that there's now two special event stations on site. To give you a perspective of how large this event is, it's approximately 3 miles by 2 miles wide. So let's join Randy, K7AGE, as he visits the W9ZL special event station.
Hello, I'm Randy, K7AGE, at the EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association's big fly-in in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I'm here with John at one of the special event stations. So,
hello.
Hi, John, AB9AH with the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club. And we're here at the W9ZL Air Venture 2015 special event station. For the past 20-plus years, we've been running a special event station at the EAA Air Venture fly-in show every year. We run two HF stations here, one on 20 meters, one on 40 meters. Outside here, we have John KC9FMC, and he's got a 20-meter station that he's manning. He's running a Yaesu FT-1000, and that is being run up through a vertical. Inside, we're running an ICOM 756 Pro up into a dipole on 20 meters. Cool. We average probably, if the bands permit, 300 to 400 contacts, and usually about 100 certificates go out every year.
Very good. Why don't you fill me in a little bit on the tower that's holding up one end of the dipoles here?
Beacon tower, which had a light beacon on it and the AM beacon transmitter antenna on it. Buildings we're operating out of is called Lone Rock Service Station. These two buildings were originally located in the southwest portion of Wisconsin in the town of Lone Rock, and this was at a local airport down there. This was a generator shack next to here. This was the actual service station.
Wow, that's pretty neat. So how many operators do you have staffing the station?
There's 11 scheduled per day. The station is one of the longest operating per man-hour basis. We operate for 5 straight days here, and I have a total of, I think, 23 people on staff for me this year.
So I imagine you have a lot of QSL cards and certificates to send out after the air adventure.
Oh, yes. We'll average about 600 contacts, like I said, during this event, and I've got a 20 to 30% return ratio on cards per contact. So I'll be busy for probably 16, 20 hours replying and getting out the certificate for the year.
Well, thank you very much. Of course, this is going to be airing after the air adventure closes, so I hope everybody has already worked you here.
Okay, and I hope that it serves as a reminder for everybody at work me to get those QSL cards out to the club, and you'll be getting a certificate from me a little later in the year.
John, thank you from Ham Nation and all of our viewers. Thank you very much.
And I visited Whiskey 9 Whiskey in the Warbirds area.
This is Dan, N9LVS. I'm here at the Warbirds area of Air Venture 2015, and I'm here with Ed, K9ECF. He's running the Warbirds special event station at Air Venture.
We were at a Warbirds of America board meeting some months ago and discovered that, unbeknownst to each of us, that all of us were ham members and did not know that at the time. So we decided to try an initiative this year of setting up a special events radio station in the Warbirds of America area. The call sign for the special event station is Whiskey 9 Whiskey, or Whiskey 9 Warbirds. Trying an experiment, all hams who happen to be in the area are welcome to come by the radio station, make a few contacts. We hope to do this every year. We try to operate it from 9 to 5 p.m. in shifts as much as we can. With generous help from ICOM, we have a state-of-the-art ICOM 7851 radio, which radio setup, the 746 and the 7851. And we are, to whatever bands are open, we'll try to make a few contacts. If you're interested in further information about the Warbirds of America or what we do here with the Warbirds and the old World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, Gulf War vintage aircraft, you can go to warbirds-eaa.org. Again, that's warbirds with an S, -eaa.org.
And that's the two special event stations at Air Venture 2015, W9ZL and Whiskey 9 Whiskey. With Randy, K7AGE, I'm Dan, N9LVS, bidding you 73s from Air Venture 2015.
Well, thanks for the video there, Dan and Randy. That really looked like a lot of fun. I'm going to have to try to make it up there one year. And I did not realize that they had all the amateur radio activity there as well. You know, last week I asked a question. No, it was 2 weeks ago I asked a question. Last week I tried to give away this MFJ dual 24-hour clock. However, I couldn't be on the show because of a squirrel coax problem. But the question I had asked 2 weeks previous was, why would a normal ohm meter not work as well as a megger for checking insulation resistance? We had a winner on that. It's Rick Peterson, M0SEH. Rick said a regular ohm meter cannot send enough voltage down a piece of coax to find where the insulation is broken down like a megger can. And that's correct, Rick. We're going to send you this MFJ 24-hour clock. Hope you enjoy that. Set one side to your local time in 24-hour format, the other side to UTC, and you'll be good to go. For next week, I've got another question that, it's got something to do with Dan and Randy were. What is the call sign that the Warbird Special Event Station use during the air show? If you think you know that, send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win this DX Engineering Canvas tote bag. Yes, this may look like something that your wife would take to the supermarket or to the beach, but let me tell you, this is one heavy-duty bag here. You've seen those I think they call them pig nose bags. I'm not sure that tower climbers carry their tools in. This is just that heavy. I used it at field day. I had all my coax and extension cords in here. So if you'd like to win that, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and tell me what call sign did the Warbird Special Event Station use at the air show this year. Well, right now, let's get Don in here and find out what's been going on in the news.
You know, George, I know just the person that can help you out with your squirrel problem, and that would be KD2GUT. That's Karen Eve Murray. She's the new writer and editor for Newsline. She hand feeds those little guys almost every morning. They come right up to her, and they're like her little pets. So perhaps you need a squirrel charmer, and I can put you in touch with just the one you need, a little squirrel. No, not that kind of. No, I hope she's not watching, for crying out loud. No, no. Oh, that is not a Cinderella story. No, that is. Oh, no, that is not. That's not even a squirrel. Great movie, but no, you people. God, there's so much wrong with that. All right, let's go ahead and get into the news of the week, shall we, from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1969, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. The price of your ARRL membership is about to go up. Membership is going up $10, effective next January 1st. The hike is the first increase since 2001, when basic dues were set at $39. CEO David Sumner, K1ZZ, who also announced his May 1st, 2016 retirement date at the meeting, call the price hike a difficult decision, even after implementing a 15% staff reduction and creating a development program to help grow financial gifts. Sumner said on the ARRL website that, quote, raising dues will ensure that high-quality programs and services will continue for all members as we provide a unified voice that protects and promotes all of amateur radio. Information about ARRL revenues and expenditures can be found in its annual report archive. AMSAT has announced an opportunity to become a hosted amateur radio payload aboard a geosynchronous satellite set to launch in 2017. The invitation to rideshare means the satellite would be along for the trip aboard a satellite being designed and operated by Millennium Space Systems of El Segundo, California. AMSAT expects to have input in the development of the ground station and payload RF development. And once the satellite is launched, AMSAT's expected to be the hosted amateur radio payload operator. In order to make the launch, however, the developers have a demanding schedule. The payload needs to be tested and integrated by the spring of 2016. AMSAT President Barry Bynes, WD4ASW, described the project as a project that provides technical challenges while creating a new amateur radio capability in space. He expected the rideshare to provide benefits beyond the amateur community, extending into emergency communications and STEM educational outreach. It's fox hunting season.
They range in age from the teens to the 70s, and they're coming from all over to compete in the most physical of all ham radio sports. on-foot hidden transmitter hunters, also called foxtailers and radio orienteers. Their sport is amateur radio direction finding, or ARDF. Your mission is to try to find up to 5 hidden radio transmitters without assistance while on the run or trotting or just walking. You'll carry a map and a compass so you don't get lost. Mix in with the USA's best radio orienteers at the 15th National ARDF Championships at the Peaceful Valley Scout Ranch in eastern Colorado during the last week and weekend of August. There are 9 separate categories with medals for the best 3 in each, so you'll only be competing against people of your own age range and gender. Registration for the championships is now open. You can read all the details and get the registration form on the web at homingin.com. That's homingin, as one word, homingin.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Joe Mell, K0 Oscar Victor.
And now some names in the news. First up, our newly appointed Young Ham of the Year, W0ANT, Anna Veal, is the recipient of yet another award.
2015 is shaping up to be a great year for 14-year-old Anna Veal, W0ANT, of Littleton, Colorado. The newly selected winner of Amateur Radio Newsline's Young Ham of the Year Award was selected this past weekend as a recipient of the 2014 Hiram Percy Maxim Memorial Award for Youth, recognizing her leadership, service, involvement, and commitment to the amateur radio community. It's the latest honor for Anna, who holds a general class license. In 2011, she was chosen for Young Ham of the Year by the Rocky Mountain Division of the ARRL. Naturally, we're very proud of her here at Amateur Radio Newsline. She is among other award winners named by the Board of Directors following their weekend meeting in Connecticut. David L. Hirschberger, W9GR, was named to receive the 2014 Doug DeMaw W1FB Technical Excellence Award for his work in reducing audio distortion in SSB transmission, as described in his article, Controlled Envelope Single Sideband, in the November-December 2014 issue of QEX. The board recognized the principals and developers of broadband HamNet for their contributions to microwave mesh networking with the 2014 ARRL Microwave Development Award. Randy Thompson, K5ZD, was named the winner of the 2014 Philip J. McGann Silver Antenna Award for outstanding volunteer public relations success over many years, and especially for achieving national media coverage of the 2014 World Radio Sport Team Championship. From Canyon City, Colorado, I'm Amanda Alden, K1DDN, for Amateur Radio Newsline.
Congrats to all, and we'll look for you August 15th in Huntsville, Alabama, for the presentation of the Young Ham of the Year Award. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. For Joe Mell, K0OV, Amanda Alden, K1DDN, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, we do not have a solo report from Dr. Scove tonight because, well, her father is quite ill right now, as a matter of fact, and he could use your prayers. So if you are so inclined to send up a prayer, a happy thought, a little positive energy into the universe, that would be very apropos at this point. She's got her hands full with family matters, and so we don't have a solo report tonight. And in fact, even better, if you'd like to join her on Twitter, her Twitter handle is at Tamitha Scove, or you can do so via her Facebook page. You can even email me if you'd like. And if you'd like to share a word or two of encouragement, that would be a good thing, I think. And like I said, if you'd like to hit her up on Twitter or on Facebook or even just email me, you can find my email address on QRZ.com, and I'll be sure and pass it along. Also, you can do so in the chat room. I'll cut that out and send that to her as well. Let her know that you're thinking of her. It's always a good thing. All right, well, that will take care of that for tonight. Why don't we get now a word from our friends at ICOM?
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. Get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. With the release of the ID51A Plus and ID5100A, more people are getting on the air with D-Star. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a bi-direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents only. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star Infrastructure Program. Visit ICOM America's website, view current amateur promotions, and buy direct. This promotion is good for a limited time only. Review complete instructions online and call or email in your order today. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's BuyDirect program. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Throw your name in the hat for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats, posters, just a whole lot of things that ICOM gives away every week. And you can also learn how you could win the monthly grand prize drawing while you're there. For July, the grand prize is going to be the ID31A compact 5-watt UHF handy talkie with submersible construction, analog and D-Star operation, built-in GPS, micro SD card slot, and a lot more. So sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Bob, I understand you've got a special guest tonight.
We do, and I'm really happy about this. It comes at a good time. Also, he's been here before, but how many times a day do each one of us use QRZ? Probably 10, 12, 50. We bring to you Fred Lloyd. Fred, how are you?
Bob, it's good to see you. Good to hear from you. How are things back east?
Everything is okay here in the Ozarks. We enjoyed your visit with you and your wife last year. We look forward to that again. But I wanted to have you on, not only just to let people know how important QRZ is, but you've been doing some upgrades, and I thought maybe we'll turn the microphone and camera over to you and tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Oh, okay. Well, we've been running the same software for our discussion forums now for going on about 5 years, maybe longer than that. And most software starts to get old after a while, and ours was no different. So we went out and bought a brand new software package that performs the forums, and we have our swap meet and our news sections and all that on. It's a very, very popular part of the site. It's not like buying a program and sticking it in and watching it play, however, because everything has to work together. And so once we buy a new piece of software, we have to work a lot of hours to make it compatible with everything that's going on in QRZ. And we started that process about a week and a half ago. And for about a week, our forums were actually down while we were doing the conversion. And we had a lot of issues having to do with so many people on the site that we had to really shut it down in order to get any work done. But that's gone really well. I see you've got the new site right there. Yes, on the screen. It's a lot smoother than the old one. Visually, it's a lot better. It's got a lot of new great features. For instance, it sends email notifications. Now, when you're watching a particular subject, it'll tell you when something is new on the site. So we've been really excited about that. And we're also working with a new software engineer that we have, Victor Alpha 7 STV. That's Steve from Kelowna in Canada. Kelowna is up near in BC, in British Columbia. And he's doing a lot of work with us. He's our logbook engineer. And I would also tell you that the logbook is also doing quite well. We haven't made any changes to it in the past month, but it does have 130 million QSOs logged in there now, and some 150,000 logbooks are on the site. And by the way, I would also add that of those 130 million QSOs, 26 million of them are confirmed. So things are really, really going well. What else can I tell you about it?
That's pretty amazing. Well, somebody in chat room wanted to know if you had any sleep the last week.
Oh, let me tell you, a really tough part about that is that in addition to having to work on the on the site for 12 hours a day. We got a new puppy at home. And between the two of those, yeah, sleep has just been non-existent lately.
Hey, Don, I think you're still with us. Don, how many times do you use QRZ a day?
Well, you know what? I'm at work without a radio, and I'll get on QRZ just to check and see what's going on with the forums and stuff, and also to look and see. You mentioned the logbook, Fred. I got to tell you, that's one of my favorite functions is the logbook. Anytime I'm on HF here at home or on D-Star as well, it's so easy to just punch up QRZ.com, of course, and then look up someone's call sign, and you're looking at their QRZ page, and as you're talking to them, you just reach over and log a contact with this person, click on it, and bang, everything's right there. You put the band in and whatever notes you want and log this contact, and it's there, it's done. And I don't upload it to Logbook of the World yet, but I tell you what, it's great when I want to go back later and fill out QSL cards to send out if I want to send out hard cards. It's all right there, and I love it. So, man, that's probably my favorite part of the site besides the call sign lookup. It's just awesome. So thanks for that.
Well, thank you, Don. I'm glad to hear that. We're really proud of the logbook. We've put a lot of time into it, and it's one of those things that's never done either, like the rest of the software on the site. We're constantly working on it. We're fortunate to have a couple of great software engineers, but that's a little bit too self-serving since I'm one of the two. But we do everything we can to keep the site interesting, fresh, and current. And we listen to our users when they have suggestions. We listen and we implement the good ones.
What's a great site? I just love it. So on behalf of every ham that's ever typed in QRZ.com on a keyboard and hit enter, thank you. Bob, back to you.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I don't know that ham radio could exist anymore without it. I really mean that because you just go into any band and have a contact today, and almost every one of them will come back and say, they'll know your name, they'll know where you live, and a little bit about you. And that's wonderful. It opens the book. So personally, I use a lot of the forums and learn things from different people. But I also, I have to tell you, I watched the swap shop, Fred, because every once in a while you'll find a bargain. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, it's Swap Shop is also my favorite forum. We've got a lot of moderators that help on the site, but that's the one forum that I look at every single day, and I have for the past 20 years. I don't know what it is. It's not like I'm buying anything, but I'm just so interested in seeing all the gear that's out there. And occasionally I see something that I would like to buy, but I'm with you. I really love looking at the equipment.
That's great. Well, I thank you for taking time to be with us today. We probably took it out of your sleep time, but thanks so much for being here and keeping this incredible site going, because it's the heart of amateur radio today. Greetings to your wife, and we'll look for you on the next trip that you come through the Ozarks, and anything that we can do for you, any announcements you have to put out to the world, why we got tens of thousands of people out there listening and watching. So thanks so much for being here, Fred, and 7-3 to you. We'll talk really soon.
Thank you, Bob. It certainly is my pleasure. Look forward to seeing you all again. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Well, it's a wonderful site. Now, I just can't imagine that no one knows or uses QRZ today. I don't know how you would do without it. I know I can't. I use it so much. And back at our plant in Illinois, they use it so much there too. So very, very good. Don, you got a couple of words, I think, from ZipRecruiter. Is that right?
Yeah, brand new sponsor to Ham Nation. And Fred, you probably could have used ZipRecruiter if you were looking for new software engineers. I'll tell you what, last year when I had to hire a new assistant after I took over as production director at work, I could have used ZipRecruiter. We didn't use it at iHeartMedia where I work, but man, I wish we would have. If you're a business owner, you know that, well, summertime is a great time to hire the best people, right? Well, with competitors on vacation, there's less competition for quality candidates, posting jobs in one place. Just, it's not enough anymore to find quality candidates. And short staffing leaves very little time to post to dozens of job sites. And who has time to do that? You need a staff to do that. And of course, you know, if you don't have a staff, you need some place to find a staff. And that's where ZipRecruiter.com comes in. You can post to 100 plus job sites with one single click and be instantly matched to candidates from over 4 million resumes. I believe they use it. I think I heard Leo say they use it at Twit. It's ZipRecruiter is a great resource. You post it once, and within 24 hours, you watch your candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. You can try it right now for free. Getting the right people for your company is so important. You got to find the right people. Otherwise, you know, your business just kind of dries up on the vine. And Lynn, who is a happy ZipRecruiter client, said, and this is a quote, direct quote, "We've had excellent results with ZipRecruiter, and we're using it to hire more employees. Customer service is excellent, helpful, professional, and they are able to expedite service requests efficiently. It is our go-to site for hiring." You need to make it your go-to site for hiring as well. And even if you are not the hirer or the firer at your work, you need to get in touch with the person who is the hirer. Stay away from the firer and tell them they need to try ZipRecruiter. They can do it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/twit, ZipRecruiter.com/twit. ZipRecruiter, thanks for coming on board with us here at Ham Nation. We do appreciate you being here. I believe now let's go check and see if we have our friends Abby and Kendra Wilson, the Wilson sisters. No, not Hart, the other Wilson sisters. Hello, girls. It's lovely to have you with us tonight. How are
you? Hi. We're great.
Good. Now, the reason that I wanted to have you on, people have heard about a horrible thing that happened in your hometown of Lafayette, Louisiana, and that was a tragic shooting in a movie theater. Tell us where you were that night.
Yeah, that's definitely probably one of the worst things that's ever happened in this city. We were both at the Grand 14, not the 16 where it happened. And we were just about 10 minutes away at a different theater.
So you could have, in the mental coin toss of let's go see this movie. Nah, let's go see this movie. And you go see this movie instead. And that keeps you from perhaps being... It's scary to think about it. You know, several years ago, my wife and I went to Washington, D.C., and we happened to be in town when the guard was sadly and tragically killed at the Holocaust Memorial. And it makes you think. It makes you think just how fragile life is and how things can turn in an instant. And I want to get off that subject, but I wanted to bring you on just because of that. And, well, another reason is because we haven't talked to you in a long time. But anyway, we're glad that you girls are safe and that we mourn, of course, for the loss of life and the tragedy that happened there in Lafayette. Lafayette is a great town. I think it was chosen as like the happiest city in the country or something. And it still is. It's a great town, a great ham fest there in Rain. And of course, you guys live there and Sam, our friend Sam lives there as well. So anyway, let's move on to more happy things and tell us what's going on with you girls in Ham Radio. How is the youth net going?
Our net is going great. We couldn't ask for better people that check in. And we just love all of them that check in. And as you know, we just got back from the Dayton Ham Fest, and that was something. It was amazing.
Yeah, we have a picture, actually, from QST Magazine. I saw that today. Brian, pull it up. Do you have that handy? We'll show everyone, if you go and look in the Dayton recap. There they are. They're in the purple. Look at that. They're in Heil purple, for crying out loud. That's great. With astronaut Mike Fink. How was it meeting astronaut Fink? I bet that was just cool as that could be, huh?
That was actually a really fantastic experience. And just looking back on that picture, we didn't even mean to coordinate. It was just what we happened to have with us at the time. But it was a really fantastic experience getting to talk to him, because he would really answer anyone's questions. Like, you know, you could come up with the most off-the-wall thing to ask him about his career in outer space. And he was nice as could be, too. So that was truly wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of astronauts, are you going to be going to the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest coming up on the 15th of August?
That is still up in the air. We both start school like the week right after it, so we're not really sure, but we'd like to.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Yeah, if you can, that's worth it. My son will not be going this year because he starts like a few days before, like the week before, so he's going to miss out on that. But anyway, well, good. I love to check into the YouthNet there on EchoLink with you. Yeah, Bob, go ahead.
I want to say hello to the wonderful sisters. Thanks for being here. But you really should try to be in Huntsville because Don and I are going to be there alone. That means we will not have adult supervision. And you should really come and fill in and make sure that we don't get in trouble. You think you girls could do that?
Yeah, we need to be watched. We need babysitters and I think that you I don't know, you may need help, so bring your whole family.
Well, I'm sure it wouldn't be an inconvenience, that's for sure. And hey, it's still up in the air, so we could always be there. You never know. Yeah. Hopefully we do get a chance to, though, because it looks like a terrific ham fest.
Oh, it is. And Katie Allen's going to be there too, Bob, so we can get in all kinds of trouble with Katie as well. So, and Joe Eisenberg is going to be there, and George is going to be there, and W5KUB is going to be there, and all of our friends are going to be there, and the Young Ham of the Year will be there, and if the Wilson sisters aren't there, I just don't want to go.
Well, the situation is Katie will not be the person that will help us get out of any kind of problems. She might be helpful to get in. You know how that goes, but it'd be good to have her there, and I'm looking forward to that.
It goes without saying.
Tell us a little more about where and when your nets are so we can check in for Kendra.
We're on the W5DDL repeater, the 759629 EchoLink node, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central.
And it's run it by Gint Slower for us old men so we can make a note.
Okay. Thursday nights on the W5DDL repeater, 759629 is the EchoLink node, and it's at 7 p.m. Central.
Okay.
The phonetics on that, Bob, is dumb, deaf, and lazy.
Well, that's great. And how many young teenagers get to check in on your net? How are you doing with that, Abby?
We've actually had a couple of regulars that have checked in for the past 5 or 6 months, I'd say. Mm-hmm. They're really cool. There's actually there's another YouthNet that's hosted in Michigan by Mr. Ed Engelman, and it's the YachtNet. And so a couple of their people have come over and they've started checking in on ours and vice versa. So I would say right now we're probably at maybe 4 or 5, possibly 6 regular check-ins for that. But they have a truly fantastic net, and it's every Saturday night at 7 Central Standard.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll have to get things put together here so we can join you. But I really appreciate you being here. And Don, thanks for making this all happen.
Well, you know, it's when I heard the bad news, I immediately thought I wanted to make sure that they were okay. And thank God they were. And Sam as well. So everyone's okay in our little circle in Lafayette, Louisiana. And again, a great city. And you know, it just goes, you know, bad things happen in the best of places. You can't get away from it no matter where you go. Just stuff happens. But we're certainly glad that that you ladies are okay. And we're glad that the YouthNet is going on. And we've been remiss in having you on here lately. So we wanted to rectify that. And it's awfully good to see you on here. And I love checking into that. I'm glad you let a childish old man like me check in and have fun with you guys. I just have an AC8PI up there in Michigan. How you doing, man? My buddy up there. It's always good to talk to him. So Anyway, ladies, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We do appreciate you, and thanks for everything that you do for the youth of ham radio. It's just, it's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you for letting us be on the show and always checking in on our nets and keeping it alive for us. So,
well, I do what I can, and it's a great thing. So tell your dad and your mom hello for us, and tell Sam hello too. And hopefully we'll see Sam in Huntsville, and hopefully we'll see you there too. So again, thanks so much for being with us tonight. And I think it's time to see what's going on in the chat room, I do believe, with another of the lovely ladies of amateur radio, and that would be our very own Amanda. And nice to have you on Amateur Radio Newsline this week too, Amanda. You did a great job, so thank you.
Well, thank you as well. And I was nervous. And I don't know how many takes it takes for you to get a story down, but I think I did it 32 times. Now, if I'm doing something wrong, we'll talk about it later.
It's about 3 less than me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I had to think about that for a second. All right. Hey, you guys, I have actually only have one announcement, and then we'll get to some pretty technical questions. So you guys put on your technical thinking hats. Hopefully George will be able to join us as well. The first announcement I have is the Hamfesters Club Hamfest is this Sunday at, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Piatone, Illinois, Will County Fairgrounds, and our own Val is scheduled as a guest speaker, so you guys make sure you get their gates open at 8 a.m. With that, well, this one actually isn't too technical. Bob, you're going to have this answer right away. By the way, Bob, so nice to have you back on the show tonight.
I put on my technical hat and my technical glasses, and I'm ready.
That's great. KB2MOB Rich would like to know, he just bought an FT817 and a new Pro 7, and he loves it, Bob, by the way. And he says, what's a good antenna to use for QRP? Vertical, dipole, et cetera, et cetera. What's the first thing that comes to your mind of what you would use?
I'm the wrong guy to ask because the answer is always going to be a dipole. It's the simplest, and I still maintain it's the best antenna. However, sometimes you don't have enough room or trees or whatever. But if you've got the room, especially if you're QRP out in mountaintops or whatever, buddy poles and all that work really great. But if it's for a fixed station, no, nothing will touch a good dipole. Resonant on the frequency that you're working on.
Okay. And we'd love to go. Of course, we're surrounded in the mountains here in Colorado. Go figure. And we love to take QRP rigs and go into the mountains and throw up a quick dipole into the trees. We love it because it's funny because it's like the Griswolds and Jeff gets covered in sap and touched my hair. And anyhow, fun times. I'm not kidding you, though. Yeah. It is so quiet to do that. I recommend it. If you guys can ever do that, do it. Thank you, Bob, so much for that. Let's move on. Don, do you have on your technical hat?
I have on my special underwear.
Wow. Okay.
I got no hat. Wait, I do. Hang on.
I've got nothing.
There. Now I got on my hat.
He never ceases to stop shocking me. Okay.
I'm like a battery.
I'm telling you. Wired wrong. Okay, what's the proper spacing for a 2-meter Omni and a 2-meter beam on the same mast? Any idea? Now, don't fail me because we failed on our last 2-meter question. So if you could answer this appropriately. We'd appreciate it.
My hat was too tight. It cut off my hearings. Ask me the question again.
Okay, we'll ask that question again. K9OMG Mike would like to know, what is the proper spacing for a 2-meter Omni and a 2-meter beam on the same mast?
All right, so I'm assuming that the beam is going to be horizontal and the Omni obviously is going to be vertical. I would say, I don't know. I'm guessing I would give it 3 feet. I don't know, but I'm sitting there thinking off the top of my head, I would give it 3 feet.
Okay. And, Did we get George back on, by the way?
Yep. And I have on my thinking cap and my thinking glasses.
Well, what's your answer? Do you agree, George, or would you like to come up with a different answer?
You know, that's a good question, and one which I would probably do research on if I was going to be mounting those antennas myself. But I think since one is vertically polarized and the other is horizontal, you can get them a little closer. Otherwise, I would probably want them a little more than a wavelength apart, and not exactly a wavelength. I would make it some oddball distance, but that's the best I can do on short notice. I really don't know the correct answer for that.
And that's something that actually I want to do. I want to put, I'd like to actually like been thinking about doing a squalo, a square loop antenna. And then above that, the repeater antenna or my vertical for 2 meter and 440. So that's actually something that's a good question. I'm going to do some research into that and see what I can find out.
If you go to my QRZ.com page, you will see a picture of my tower, and I have at the top of it a horizontal 11 element 2 meter, and underneath it, about 20, 24 inches, 2 feet, I have a vertical 11 element. I've been doing that, gosh, for decades and decades, back in the 50s, where I take a horizontal and vertical and put them together, and it's going to be down at the bottom of that page, Brian, keep going. I find no interaction, and I have all kinds of guys will say to me, oh, man, you shouldn't do that. Well, there it is. I don't know if you can see it. Zoom in on that little guy. Yep. But I have no problem. I've done it with 6 meter and 2 meter antennas. But there you'll see a horizontal at the top, and hardly 2 feet down from that is a vertical antenna. No problem. And you're right, George. I try to keep it a wavelength if I can, but that works good. And look how close they are to the 6 meter antenna, because it won't know it's there. It's just a piece of non-resonant wire. But the really big key is what you said, George. Don't keep them at an equal quarter, half, or whatever a wavelength. Just make it a little more, a little less, so it's not harmonically coupled. Right, George? Right.
That's correct. That was my thinking on it. Don't give it an excuse to try to resonate. If you've got them just an oddball distance apart, it's not a problem. You know, for AM broadcast stations where they have insulators in the guy wires, those links between each insulator is actually about a tenth of a wavelength.
Wow. Wow, that's great. There's your answer, Amanda.
Well, yeah, thank so you my very 3 foot guess wasn't that far off, was it? My 3 foot guess wasn't that far off.
So I'm just going to do, I put it on a thinking cap too, just to be all equal and stuff. I'm going to ask this question as a follow up. What would happen if you did it wrong? If you put them too close together? I mean, obviously there's not a too far apart. What would happen, Bob?
Oh, what's really going to happen is the pattern will be all messed up. You know, a beam is going to have a big lobe in the front and not much out the back, hopefully. And if you get something that's going to be too close, it's resonant, that pattern is going to be messed up. You might not see very much of a directivity of that Yagi. I think that would be the one thing that you would notice. You agree, George?
I do. It's going to distort the pattern so that it's not going to be what you would expect anymore. And who knows which way it would actually go. I mean, you could sit down and do some math, I guess, and figure it out. But, yeah, you don't want them interacting with each other. The whole point of having that beam is so you know where the main lobe is, where all the power is going, where you're receiving. And the same thing on the right. Omni. You don't want anything distorting that. You want equal coverage all the way around.
Right. Very good.
I have always been one to say, forget all the math, forget all of what he says, she says, books say, put it up. You will be amazed. Sometimes things that's not supposed to work, they work really good, and vice versa. Put it up, have fun. That's my bottom line answer of everything. I'm about ready to make a change on my tower, and we're going to put up a different antenna. Comet sent me one of their tri-banders. We're going to get that up when the weather gets a little cooler. But Amanda, the best thing to do is put it up, have fun, and see if it works.
Well, hey, and everybody learns from trial and error, so I totally agree. But let's not do it when it's 100 degrees out. I just have one more thing. And again, it's another kind of a tower situation and spacing. So, George, I'll send it to you first. Don, WB3BJU says, I'm taking down my 45-foot crank-up tubular tower for repair. It has a tri-band beam. I'm going to construct a magnetic loop antenna for 80 to 30 meters. Can I mount it above the tri-bander using a non-conductive mast?
An 80-meter loop he wants to put on a tower, is that the question?
I do believe so. And part of the key parts of that was, can I mount it above the tri-bander using a non-conductive mast?
I don't think you could mount it up there with a conductive mast. I mean, an 80-meter loop, I don't know how you would mount that on a tower. That's a big antenna, isn't it, Bob?
Well, he said a magnetic loop. He said a magnetic loop. That's the small loop, right? A magnetic loop.
Ah, okay.
That's the small one. Yeah, that's...
Yes, magnetic
loop. Yeah, that's the magnetic loop. MFJ makes those, and they're not very big. So you could, I would think, put it up there.
And, yeah, I would. Yeah. I would think if you're going to use one of those, you might want it to where you can get to it pretty easy, because there's some mechanics and stuff in there that you might need to access in the future.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Again, what Bob said, hey, just try it and see if it works. Now, you don't want to invest a lot of money in it and then, you know, try it and find out that it's not going to work for you. But if you've just got it laying around, why not try it out?
It ain't going to work if it ain't up.
Agreed, Bob?
Absolutely. Give it a try, see what happens, and I think you'll be amazed. But that magnetic loop, you're going to have to do some tuning on that. I don't think you want to put that up on a big tower. You're going to have to. You're going to have access to that.
Yeah.
Don, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing several hats.
Oh, okay.
Well, hey, wears several hats here on the Ham Nation. Was at work and keeping Don
in. Hats all around.
Ah, say look.
Yeah, we're good.
Hey. Brian's got his hat. Cool.
I found one in Leo's office. I just ran in there.
Not the Shriner's hat, though, obviously. That's all I had tonight, you guys. And thank you so much. I thought those were some great questions. So great show. Nice to have you back, Bob. Over to you.
Well, it was good to be back, and I missed everybody. I missed my Billy Sims, which I had my Billy Sim fix the other day. So we'll see you next week here, and keep all the cards and letters coming. Catch all the nets afterwards, and just go find them. It's ham radio. Everybody's, what frequency? Go find them. You'll find them, because there's going to be pile-ups where these nets are. I can tell you 3847, Cheryl will be there. Anybody have a 40-meter frequency?
I didn't see a 40-meter frequency listed. It's probably around 72, 78, plus or minus 10. And I know that 20 meters on 14.268.
Yeah, 6.8. What's the dewdrop and all that stuff and the D-star? You got that, George?
Yeah. Echo Link is on star dewdrop M star node number 355800. And let me check my thinking hat. Yes, D-star is on reflector 14. Module C, and you can listen to it on the internet if you don't have a D-Star radio, hamnationdstar.net.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, guys and girls, I have to say this. My good friend Mike from Toronto area just put a great quote that I say in a lot of workshops about antennas. Take it out of the box first.
Yes.
Yes.
You're right. Okay, Mike. You learned well and you kept it all. It just works much better when you take it out of the box. Just put the dump up.
Oh!
And of course, my bottom line of everything to all people, don't try to get on 52 different bands. Get on one or two bands. I say 40 meters first. If you're going to hit HF, get on 40 meters, little 33 foot, put it up 10, 15 foot high, and you'll be amazed. But the problem is people want to work all these different bands in one end. You can't do it. So make and focus on one frequency, and away you go. We'll get into some of that later. Thanks to everybody, and really good to be back. Brian, you were exquisite tonight, as usual.
Thanks, Bob.
So we'll see what happens later on. So 7-3, everybody. From the Ozarks, this is K9 EID and the whole Ham Nation crew. We had fun. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.